At that time, we had two black leaders in Montgomery. E.D. Nixon, who was Mr. Civil Rights, who normally would have been the person to serve in that capacity. And then you also had Rufus Lewis, but Rufus Lewis was only interested in one aspect of civil rights, and that is voter registration, getting a person elected and holding them accountable once they were elected. And he owned a nightclub. It's the name of the nightclub was a citizens club, and you had to be a registered voter in order to be there. So we were afraid that if either one of them was selected as the spokesperson, we would lose some of the supporters of the other. Joanne said, well, why don't we get my pastor, Martin Luther King? He has not been involved in civil rights activities. He haven't been here long. But one thing he can do, he can move people with his words. I said, well, that's the kind of person we need for that. I said, fine. I suggested to her key roles for these other two men. I said, with respect to E.D. Nixon, it's easy. He's a Pullman car porter. President of his union in New York is A. Philip Randolph, black labor leader. If he is made the treasurer, and if we're able to get people to stay off of the buses, he will help E.D. Nixon raise money to support the bus boycott. Well, what are we going to do with Rufus Lewis? Not much you can do with voter registration. However, Rufus Lewis had a wife whose name was Jewel. Jewel Lewis is co-owner of the largest black funeral home in Montgomery, was then and is now, Ross Clayton Funeral Home. She was the daughter of Clayton. Let's make her husband chairman of the transportation committee. She will be able to get the cars of their funeral home and these other black funeral homes and others in the area, and they'll help us transfer people. Then the only other thing left is, who's the lawyer going to be? Well, he or I, send me. Those were the plans we made, assigned responsibilities to each other. And Joanne went, after we got through with our little meeting and started making our phone calls, she went on the campus of Alabama State, ran off the leaflets that were passed out on Sunday. And when Dr. King spoke at the mass meeting on the 5th of December, after the people had stayed off of the buses, we knew that we had done the right thing. So now you have Dr. King introduced to, and that was his beginning of his activities in the civil rights movement. And I was appointed at the same meeting he was appointed to be the spokesman. I was responsible for getting the legal work done. And that was a great responsibility. So for the next 382 days, on a day-to-day basis, I dealt with Dr. King because we had events to come up. But I had enough sense at the very beginning to know that I was a young lawyer just out of law school and needed to get the very best help I could get. I got on the phone, talked to Thurgood Marshall. He invited me to come up to his office, and that was the second week in December, right after the bus boycott started. I took a copy of a complaint that we later filed, Browder versus Gale, and was able to give Dr. King the legal basis that he needed, and that enabled him to go from that time up until the time of his death.